You arrive to a system that needs a top-off every few weeks. No stains. No frost when you check. Pressures look fine after the charge. The call comes back again. The customer thinks the unit eats refrigerant. You keep hearing the same story from other homes. This is a ghost leak. It hides in slow loss, bad measurements, and small faults at the service ports or stems. The fix starts with a clear plan, clean notes, and proof that the charge is actually leaving the system. Today you build that proof. You set safety first. You record what you see. You weigh what you remove. You compare that number to what should be in the unit. If the math shows a real loss, you move forward with a tight test order. If the numbers match, the ghost is your process, not the piping. Chapter 1. Define the ghost leak and set the plan. Hook, one line. Stop chasing charge and prove if there is real loss. Scope. Use this chapter on residential and light commercial split systems and ductless units. Use it to decide if a leak hunt is needed or if the issue is measurement or process. Do not use this chapter to pressure test or pull a vacuum. Those steps come later. Safety. Wear eye and hand protection. Ventilate work areas. Treat A2L refrigerants as flammable. Control ignition sources. Use lockout and tagout before you open any part of the system. Follow EPA Section 608 rules. Recover to an approved cylinder. Do not vent refrigerant. Keep a fire extinguisher within reach if hot work may follow in later chapters. Tools and materials. Digital refrigerant scale with recent calibration. Approved recovery cylinder with legible tear weight. Recovery unit. Manifold and hoses rated for the refrigerant in the system. Temperature probe or thermometer, simple camera or phone for photos, job folder or digital notes, painter's tape and a marker for labels. Setup, meet the customer. Explain that you will build a record today. Make a fresh job folder. Write the date and time on the first page. Add the model and serial. Photograph the nameplate so you can read the factory charge and refrigerant type later without guessing. Place painter's tape tags on service caps, line set entries, and any joints you plan to inspect later. Zero your scale and verify it with a known weight if you carry one. Confirm that your cylinder tear is readable and record it. Steps. Interview the customer and log the pattern. Ask when the last top-off happened, how much the last tech added, and what the symptoms were before they called. Ask if the system ices up in the morning, hums louder than usual, or leaves oil spots on the pad. Write answers in short lines with times and dates. Walk the site and map the system. Trace the line set from the air handler to the outdoor unit. Look for rub points, tight bends, kinks, or fresh drywall patches that may hide a splice. Look for oil sheen on insulation or at service ports. Photograph anything that looks touched or stressed. Confirm the refrigerant and special handling. Read the nameplate. Note the refrigerant type. If it is an A2L such as R32 or R454B, say out loud that you will keep sparks and flames controlled and that you will ventilate. Write A2L in your notes so you do not forget later. Check instruments and recording. Zero the scale again. Take a picture of the scale at zero. Check that your manifold reads zero with both valves open to air. Check that your thermometer reads room temperature. Good records protect you and help the next tech. Lockout and tagout. Turn off the disconnect. Tag the unit. Confirm 0 volts at the service panel with a meter. Say it out loud. Safety is part of the record. Recover and weigh the full charge. Connect the recovery machine and hoses. Purge air from the hoses. Recover to a clean cylinder. Watch the scale and record net weight recovered. Speak the number and write it twice. For example, 6.8 pounds. Repeat, 6.8 pounds. Compare recovered weight to expected charge. Read the factory charge on the nameplate. Add line set adjustment if the maker calls for it. If your recovered weight is lower than expected by more than a normal service tolerance, you have proof of loss. If it matches within a small tolerance, the issue may be measurement or process. Do not guess. Let the numbers guide you. Choose the test order for later chapters. If loss is real, plan the order. Service ports and stems first. Then staged pressure testing. After that, vacuum and rate of rise. Then section isolation and pinpoint methods. You will use this plan in the next chapters. Write the plan on the first page of the folder. Verify, your pass today is a clean paper trail. You have a photo of the nameplate. You have a photo of the scale at zero. You have tear and net weight written with the same number repeated. You have a simple line that says either loss confirmed or loss not confirmed. If you cannot state that line, repeat the way out. Do not move on until you can defend the number. Common fails. Not zeroing the scale or recording tear. Fix by re-zeroing, rereading tear, and repeating the way out. Reading the wrong line on the nameplate. Fix by taking a clear nameplate photo and reading it slowly. Mixing refrigerant types in the cylinder. Fix by labeling cylinders by type and job, and by keeping a clean cylinder for each type. Document. Photograph the nameplate with charge and refrigerant type. Photograph the scale at zero and the final weight. Photograph the cylinder tear stamp. Photograph each tape label you placed on service caps and joints. Write the date, time, and ambient temperature. Add a simple sketch of the line path if it helps. Recap. Prove the loss with a clean recover and way, not with a hunch. Record everything with photos and short lines. Choose a calm test order before you touch a valve in the next step. Chapter 2, Seal and Stage Before Testing. Hook, one line. Stop slow loss at service ports and stems before any pressure work. Scope, use this chapter right after a full recover and way out. The system sits at zero pressure. The goal is to remove easy leak paths at ports, caps, and valve stems, and to set valve positions for clean isolation in later chapters. Do not use detectors or pull a vacuum here. Safety, wear eye and hand protection. Lock out and tag out the disconnect. Treat A2L refrigerants as flammable once charged later. Control ignition sources. Work with clean tools. Keep caps, cores, and gaskets in sealed bags to avoid grit. Tools and materials. Core removal tool with 1/4-inch and 5/16 adapters, new Schrader cores matched to HVAC service size, service cap gaskets, stem cap gaskets, torque wrench with inch-pound scale, quality soap solution for later chapters, hex keys or service wrench for liquid and suction valves, brass plugs and caps for unused ports, lint-free wipes, small brush, painter's tape and marker for labels. Setup, confirm recovered and at zero pressure. Spin service caps off by hand. Lay out a clean pad for parts. Open your kit of new cores and gaskets. Wipe each port face. Photograph the starting state. Label each cap with tape so positions remain clear when you reinstall. Steps. Inspect service port threads and seats. Shine a small light into each port. Look for nicks, burrs, or grit on the seat. Clean with a lint-free wipe. If threads feel rough, brush them lightly. Do not cut threads. Record findings in one line per port. Replace Schrader cores. Thread the core removal tool into the port. Remove the old core. Inspect the tip for wear, bent pin, or missing seal. Install a new core from a sealed bag. Seat it firm and square. Do not over-torque. Log new core installed with time. Renew cap gaskets and caps. Fit new gaskets into the caps. Place each cap finger snug, then add a small turn with a wrench. Follow maker torque values if provided. Note the cap type and gasket material so future techs know what you used. Check valve stem packing. Loosen the stem cap. Wipe the area. Snug the packing nut a 1/4 turn. Reinstall the stem cap with a fresh gasket. Do this on liquid and suction service valves. Record packing snugged on both. Set valve positions for isolation. Use the service wrench. Front seat the liquid valve to shut flow to the outdoor coil when needed later. Front seat the suction valve for the same isolation. Back seat only when protecting the stem during idle. Write the exact position you leave each valve in today. Isolate indoor from outdoor for staging. With both service valves at front seat, the line set and indoor coil sit separate from the outdoor coil. Confirm by tracing lines. Mark indoor isolated and outdoor isolated on your labels. Plug and cap in used or test ports. Install brass plugs on T's or test taps not used in the next phase. Fit caps with fresh gaskets. Hand snug, then a small wrench turn. Label plug points so no one opens them by mistake. Final pass on all seals. Spin each service cap off and on once more to confirm smooth threads and gasket contact. Tighten to maker spec where listed. Wipe each area clean. Photograph every finished cap and stem with your label in view. Verify, the pass today is mechanical and visual. Every service port holds a new core. Every cap has a fresh gasket and a recorded torque method. Packing nuts sit snug with stem caps reinstalled. Liquid and suction valves sit at the positions you wrote. And used taps are plugged and capped. Your photos show each point clean and labeled. No detector work and no vacuum readings belong in this chapter. Common fails: over-tightening cores or caps. Result is damaged seats or crushed gaskets. Fix by replacing the damaged part and tightening to spec with a small, steady pull, leaving old flat gaskets in caps. Result is slow seep at the cap. Fix by removing the old gasket, cleaning the cap, and installing a fresh gasket from a sealed pack. Wrong valve position notes. Result is confusion during pressure tests. Fix by saying the position aloud while you write it and photographing the stem flats as proof. Document. Photo each service port before and after core change. Photo each cap with the new gasket visible. Photo stem caps off, then on. Record valve positions in words. Liquid front seated, suction front seated. Bag old cores and gaskets, label them, and keep in the job folder. Add a one-line map that shows which ports were plugged for staging. Recap. New cores, fresh gaskets, snug packings, and clear valve positions stop slow seepage before tests. Indoor and outdoor sit isolated by your valve positions and labeled plugs. Photos and short notes today save hours during pressure and vacuum work tomorrow. Chapter 3. Pressure test the right way. Hook, one line, build pressure with nitrogen, hold it, and let the numbers tell you where to look. Scope. Use this chapter after ports and stems are sealed and valve positions are staged. Your goal is to pressure test lines and coils with an inert gas to find sections that will not hold. You will not pull a vacuum or move refrigerant in this chapter. Safety. Wear eye and hand protection. Confirm lockout and tagout. Use only oxygen-free nitrogen or approved forming gas. Never use compressed oxygen. Secure cylinders upright with a strap. Use a regulator rated for the target pressure. Ventilate the area. Treat forming gas with respect and control ignition sources, even at low hydrogen content. Tools and materials: nitrogen cylinder, dual stage regulator with accurate low pressure outlet gauge, rated hoses, core removal tool, ball valve at the hose end for fine control, approved soap solution, thermometer for ambient and line temperature, forming gas at 5% hydrogen and nitrogen if you plan a hydrogen detector pass, hydrogen leak detector if used, caps and plugs, painter's tape and marker. Setup. Read the maker limits for the outdoor coil, indoor coil, and line set. Write the lowest published maximum test pressure in your notes. Define PSIG once for your record. PSIG means pounds per square inch gauge. Set today's test pressure to a safe value that is below the lowest component limit. Typical residential targets sit between 150 and 250 pounds per square inch gauge. When in doubt, choose 150 pounds per square inch gauge. Place a thermometer near the lines. Record ambient temperature. Steps. Connect and purge. Thread the regulator to the cylinder by hand, then snug with a wrench. Close the outlet valve. Crack the cylinder valve a small turn. Watch the high side gauge fill. Open the outlet a moment to purge air from the hose. Close it. Attach the hose to your service port with a ball valve at the hose end. Crack the ball valve to push out the last air, then close it. Pressurize in stages. Raise to about 50 pounds per square inch gauge. Listen. If silent, raise to 100. Wait 2 minutes. If stable, raise to your chosen target. Use the ball valve for smooth control. Write the exact final number and the time. Speak at once. For example, target 150 pounds per square inch gauge at 10:30 a.m. Stabilize before timing. Temperature swings move pressure. Let the system sit for 10 to 15 minutes to reach a steady temperature. Record ambient again. Only start the official hold now. Note the time window you choose for the hold. Compensate for temperature drift. As a field rule, at about 150 pounds per square inch gauge, expect roughly 1/3 of a pound change for each 1 degree Fahrenheit change in temperature. If the pressure drops 1 pound while the space cools by 3 degrees, the numbers match the rule. If the drop is larger than the temperature can explain, you likely have a leak. Run the soap survey. Mix or shake an approved soap solution. Paint every braze joint, each service port, cap edges, and any suspect rub points. Watch for slow bubble growth. Fast foam that grows and pops signals a more open path. Mark each find with tape and a number. Photograph the bubble with the gauge in frame if you can. Hold time choices. Do a quick screen for 15 to 30 minutes. If the screen passes, extend to 2 hours. If the job history points to a slow loss, plan an overnight hold. Write the start and end time for each hold. A pass is no unexplained drop beyond your temperature rule and no bubble activity. Isolate sections during the hold. Your valves should already allow you to isolate indoor from outdoor. Close the ball valve at the hose end and note the pressure on each side if you have multiple gauges. If the pressure on the outdoor side drifts while the indoor side holds, you just learned where to focus next. Optional forming gas sweep. If the soap pass is clean yet the hold fails, swap nitrogen for forming gas at the same target pressure. Forming gas is 5% hydrogen in nitrogen. Ventilate. Keep ignition sources controlled. Use a hydrogen detector and sweep slowly at joints and seams. Move the probe at 1 inch per second. Shield the tip from wind. Mark any positive response and photograph the spot. Verify. The pass for this chapter is a documented hold with temperature notes. You have a clear target pressure written twice. You have start and end times. You have ambient temperatures written at both times. You have either zero bubbles or photos of bubbles with labels. If you used forming gas, you have detector readings tied to locations. If the numbers drift, you can show the amount and match or rule out temperature as the cause. Common fails. Testing above component limits. This risks damage. Fix by reading the lowest rating first and setting the target below it. Repeat, below the lowest rating. Skipping the temperature wait. This causes false drops. Fix by waiting 10 to 15 minutes before you start timing. Too fast with soap or the detector. You miss small leaks. Fix by moving slow and watching for small, steady growth in bubbles or a stable detector tone. Document. Photograph the regulator and target pressure. Photograph the thermometer next to the lines. Log the cylinder number. Write target pressure, start time, start temperature, end time, end temperature. Add photos of each soap joint that produced bubbles. If you used forming gas, note the gas type, concentration, and the detector brand and model. Draw a quick map of the system with your numbered marks. Recap. Pressurize in stages and set the target below the weakest rating. Hold and correct for temperature. Trust the numbers. Soap every joint. Use forming gas and a hydrogen detector only if the hold fails without visible bubbles. Chapter 4, Deep Vacuum and Rate of Rise. Hook, one line. Pull a true vacuum, prove the system is tight and dry, and let the micron numbers decide your next move. Scope. Use this chapter after a clean pressure test shows where to focus and after ports and stems are sealed. The goal is to remove air and moisture and then measure how the system behaves when the pump is isolated. You will not use electronic leak detectors here. You will not braze here. Safety, wear eye and hand protection. Lock out and tag out the disconnect. Keep hoses and tools rated for vacuum service. Treat A2L refrigerants as flammable when the system is later charged. Keep ignition sources controlled. Ventilate work areas. Use two hands when moving the pump and cylinder. Hot surfaces on running pumps can burn skin. Let the pump cool before transport. Tools and materials. Two large bore vacuum hoses without cores, vacuum rated core removal tools, a clean two-stage vacuum pump sized for the system volume, fresh pump oil, an accurate digital micron gauge with a clean sensor, vacuum rated ball valves, a nitrogen cylinder with a regulator for dry nitrogen breaks, clean caps and plugs, lint-free wipes, painter's tape, and a marker. Setup. Replace pump oil while it is warm so it drains fully. Fill to the mark with fresh oil. Thread vacuum rated core removal tools onto both service ports. Pull the Schrader cores and store them in a clean bag. Connect large bore vacuum hoses from the pump directly to the core tools. Do not route through a manifold. Place the micron gauge on the system side, not at the pump. A good spot is a service T on the liquid line or the extra port on a core tool. Keep the gauge away from the heat of the pump exhaust. Cap any unused ports. Steps. Blank off the pump and hoses first. Close the ball valves at the ends of your vacuum hoses. Start the pump. Let it run for 2 to 3 minutes. Watch the micron gauge if it is T'd near the hose ends. A clean pump and tight hoses will pull well under 500 microns in a short time. Open and close the hose end valves to confirm response. Record this as your hose and pump baseline. Connect to the system and start the pull. Open the core tool valves. Open the hose end valves. Start the pump if it was off. Let it run. Watch the micron gauge on the system side. Expect a faster drop when cores are removed and large hoses are used. Speak your target out loud. Target is 500 microns or lower. Work the volume and moisture. Large coils and long line sets hold moisture. Gently warm the indoor coil with supply air from a portable blower or with mild space heat. Do not use open flame. Keep airflow moving to carry moisture to the pump. Warm copper helps moisture leave. Record the ambient temperature. Chase restrictions. If the micron level stalls far above target, close one core tool valve to isolate one side. Watch the gauge. If the drop improves when a side is closed, the slow side may have trapped volume or a stuck restriction. Reopen and try the other side. Use steady changes and record each step. Reach target and stabilize. When the gauge drops to 500 microns, hold the pull for several minutes. Many techs like to see 300 to 400 microns before they isolate. Write the number twice. For example, 380 microns at 11:10 a.m. repeat. 380 microns. Rate of rise test. Close the vacuum valves at the core tools to isolate the system from the pump. Stop the pump. Watch the micron gauge for a set time. A common field rule is a rise of less than 100 microns over 10 minutes on a tight and dry small system. Larger systems can use a longer window with the same idea. Record starting microns, ending microns, and the time span. Compare to your rule. Decide, leak or moisture. If the rise is small and then levels off, you likely have moisture, not a leak. If the rise is steady and keeps climbing, suspect a leak. If the rise jumps fast and keeps climbing, a valve may be open to atmosphere or a fitting is loose. Move in small steps. Confirm each change with the gauge. Triple evacuation with nitrogen brakes. If moisture is present, reopen the vacuum valves and pull down again. When you reach near target, close the valves and backfill with dry nitrogen to a small positive pressure, for example 2 to 3 pounds per square inch gauge. Ventilate. Wait 5 to 10 minutes. Bleed to atmosphere slowly. Pull down again. Repeat this cycle up to 3 times. Dry nitrogen carries moisture out and speeds the next pull. Write each cycle with times and pressures. Isolate sections during vacuum if needed. Use your service valves or ball valves at T's to isolate the indoor coil, the outdoor coil, or the line set. Pull and test each section if the full system will not pass. Watch how the micron gauge reacts when each section is isolated. The section that rises the most is your suspect. Final pass and acceptance. After your last nitrogen break, pull to your target and hold. Isolate the system. Time a 10-minute rate of rise. Then time a longer window, such as 30 minutes, if the job history points to a ghost leak. A pass is a small rise that levels off well below the point where water would boil at room temperature. Many techs accept a rise that stays below 800 to 1,000 microns for the long window on typical residential volume. Write your acceptance line in plain words. Verify. Your pass for this chapter is a documented vacuum story. You have a photo of fresh pump oil. You have the hose and pump baseline pull. You have the system pull with target and time. You have a rate of rise chart with start and end values. You have notes on any nitrogen breaks and the number of cycles. You can point to the section that caused trouble if isolation was used. You can say in one clear line whether the system is tight and dry enough to proceed. Common fails. Micron gauge at the pump. The reading is lower than the system. Fix by moving the gauge to the system side and repeating the test. Cores left in place. Evacuation is slow. Fix by removing cores with core tools and using large bore hoses. Dirty pump oil. Pump will not reach low microns. Fix by changing oil while warm and logging the change. Pulling through a manifold. Extra restriction and leaks. Fix by connecting hoses directly to core tools. Skipping stabilization before timing. The rise looks worse than it is. Fix by letting the reading settle for a minute before you start the clock. No nitrogen breaks when moisture is heavy. Vacuum stalls. Fix by running 2 or 3 dry nitrogen breaks and adding gentle heat. Document. Photograph the pump oil change. Photograph the core tools installed and the cores you removed in a clean bag. Photograph the micron gauge display at key points. Initial pull, target reached, start of rise, end of rise. Log ambient temperature during the pull and during the rise. Write where the gauge was connected. Draw a small map that shows any isolation valves you used during testing. Tag photos with numbers that match your notes. Recap. Large hoses, cores out, gauge on the system side. Pull to 500 microns or lower, then isolate and time the rise. Use nitrogen brakes and mild heat to drive moisture out, and isolate sections if numbers point to one side. Chapter 5. Isolate by section until one fails. Hook one line. Cut the system into clean sections and watch which one cannot hold. Scope. Use this after a sound pressure test and a vacuum story. Your goal is to split the system into pieces and test each one. Typical pieces are outdoor coil, line set segments, and indoor coil with metering device. You will not repair or charge here. Safety, wear eye and hand protection. Lock out and tag out the disconnect. Secure ladders. Treat attic spaces as hot and cramped. Step only on framing. Never heat or cut lines in this chapter. Ventilate crawl spaces. Tools and materials. Core tools with ball valves, temporary line tap valves for testing only soft copper pinch-off pliers with smooth jaws, copper pinch blocks, flare caps and service caps with fresh gaskets, two inline ball valves with quarter-inch flare for temporary isolation, nitrogen with regulator, rated hoses, marker and tape, torque wrench for flares, mirror and light, small ruler for line size notes. Setup. Write a simple map with three boxes. Outdoor coil. Line set. Indoor coil and metering device. Add sub-boxes if the line set has attic or underground runs. Your aim is to pressurize one box at a time while the others sit sealed and still. Label every cap and temporary valve before you start. Steps. Isolate the outdoor coil. Front seat both service valves on the condenser. Cap the ports with fresh gaskets. Pressurize only the outdoor coil through a temporary tap at the coil service stub if available. Hold for your chosen window. Record the number, time, and temperature. Pass or fail. Isolate the indoor side. With condenser valves still front seated, set a temporary tap on the liquid line near the air handler. Cap the suction side with a flare cap and gasket. Pressurize the indoor coil and the short stubs only. Hold and log. If the indoor side holds but the full system did not, the line set becomes suspect. Divide the line set by location. If the line runs through an attic, add a temporary ball valve at the attic entry using a line tap. Pressurize the indoor half first, then the outdoor half. Hold and log each half. If the underground portion exists, isolate it the same way at both ends. Do not leave taps in place after the job is done. Use pinch-off on soft copper when needed. On annealed soft copper only, place smooth jaws over a straight section. Close in small stages until the line seals. Tag the pinch so you can find it later. Pressure test the side you want. After testing, open the pinch slightly to confirm the seal is still holding. Restoration comes in the repair chapter. Add temporary service tees where testing demands it. If no access exists on a run, install a line tap valve for testing only. Pressurize the segment. Hold and log. Remove the tap after testing. Plan a permanent tee later if the segment needs replacement. Do not leave a piercing valve in service. Test the TXV outlet side. Cap the liquid line at the air handler. Add a tap on the coil outlet or on a nearby service tee. Pressurize the distributor and coil only. Hold and log. If the coil section fails while the rest holds, you have narrowed the hunt to U-bends or headers. Walk the coil U-bends with your eyes. With the coil section under pressure, pull panels for access. Use a mirror and a light. Look for rubbed copper, green stain, or oil dust at U-bends and headers. Mark each suspect bend with tape and a number. Do not clean or bend tubes now. The pinpoint work comes next chapter. Check ductless flare joints by torque, not by feel. Isolate the indoor half by closing the outdoor valves. Cap off the indoor unit. Pressurize the flare network only. Use a torque wrench set to the maker spec for the exact size. Break and remake one joint at a time with a fresh gasket. Retest the segment after each remake. Log the spec you used. Verify. Each isolated piece has a number, a start pressure, a start time, an end time, and an ambient temperature. One piece fails while the others pass. Your map shows arrows from system to piece to suspect. You can say one clear line. For example, indoor coil fails at the distributor. Or underground suction run fails the hold. Common fails and fixes. Pinching hard-drawn copper. The pipe cracks. Fix by stopping and using a temporary tap instead. Only pinch annealed soft copper, leaving a piercing valve on the job. It seeps later. Fix by removing the tap after testing and planning a permanent repair later. Guessing torque on ductless flares. You overcrush or under-tighten. Fix by using the maker chart and a torque wrench and logging the number. Document. Photograph each isolation point with the label and frame. Photograph gauge readings at the start and end of each hold. Mark attic and underground splits on your map. List torque values you used on ductless flares and the size of each joint. Bag any removed gaskets and tag them. Recap. Split the system into boxes and test one box at a time. Use pinch-off and temporary taps only to create clean test points. Write and photo every hold so the failing section is obvious. Chapter 6, Field Detection Tactics That Work. Hook, one line. Use sight, sound, and slow sweeps to pinpoint the leak you can prove. Scope. Run these tactics after you have narrowed the problem to one section. Your aim is to locate the exact joint, bend, stem, or flare that leaks. You will use soap solution, an electronic detector, ultrasonic listening, quiet hour checks, and limited dye only if the maker allows it. You will not braze or evacuate in this chapter. Safety, wear eye and hand protection. Ventilate tight rooms. Keep ignition sources controlled around A2L refrigerants. Power remains locked out. Treat crawl spaces and attics as confined and hot. Move slowly on ladders. Keep a fire extinguisher nearby if hot work may occur in the next chapter, but do not light a flame here. Tools and materials. Approved soap solution in a squeeze bottle, electronic refrigerant detector with fresh filters and a calibrated sensor, ultrasonic leak detector with headphones, handheld windshield or piece of thin cardboard. UV dye kit only if the equipment maker allows it. UV light and safety glasses, clean rags, small mirror and light, camera or phone for photos, painter's tape and marker for labels. Setup. Set the system or the isolated section at a steady test state. For pressure work, use nitrogen or forming gas at the number you recorded earlier. Stabilize temperature for several minutes. Turn off nearby fans that stir air. Calm the space. Place tape and a marker in your pocket so you can mark each suspect point as you find it. Keep the camera ready. Steps. Read with your eyes first. Walk the full length of the isolated section. Look for oil dust at joints, U-bends, and rub points. Oil that wicks into insulation often leaves a dark edge or a sticky feel. Mark any stain with tape and a number. Photograph each mark before you touch it. Soap the obvious points. Paint a thin film on every brazed joint, service port edge, flare, and valve stem. Watch for slow, steady bubble growth. Fast foam that grows and pops points to a larger path. Number each bubble find. Photograph the bubble with your gauge or a label and frame. Wipe clean and reapply to confirm. Sweep with the electronic detector. Power the detector and let it self-check. Move the probe at 1 inch per second. Keep the tip just off the surface. Shield the tip from drafts with your other hand or cardboard. Start below a joint and sweep up and around it. Pause for a second over seams and U-bends. A stable tone or rising bar that repeats on a second pass is a real hit. Work upwind to downwind. In even a light breeze, leaks smear downstream. Stand upwind of the suspected spot if you can. Sweep the detector upwind first to get a clean baseline. Then move downwind in short lines that cross the joint. Mark and photograph any repeatable response. Use the ultrasonic listener where air moves. Press the headset on and let your ears settle. Hold the probe near seams caps and rub points. Move slowly. Hissing that sharpens as you center the tip points to a leak. Shield the probe from wind. Ultrasonic tools shine on higher pressure and small orifices. Note the number on your tape where the tone peaks. Check for frost tells under pressure. On a humid day, a small leak through a cold restriction can flash and form a thin frost edge. With pressure on the isolated side, watch elbows and capillary inlets. A pale ring that appears and fades while pressure holds can be a clue. Mark and photograph the exact spot. Do not scrape frost. Run a quiet hour check. In a still house or at night, charge the isolated section with forming gas if you plan to use a hydrogen detector from the prior chapter. Ventilate. Control ignition sources. Move slowly in the quiet space. Small leaks are easier to hear with the ultrasonic tool when everything else is off. Repeat the same sweep pattern and confirm any earlier marks. Use dye only with permission and a plan. Some makers allow UV dye in systems that use certain oils. Others do not. Read the documentation for the equipment. If allowed, inject only the specified amount. Record exactly how much you add. Run the system as directed by the maker, then shut down and inspect with a UV light and safety glasses. Dye can stain coils and masks future work. Use it as a last step, not a first step, and never in a system where the maker forbids it. Break and remake ductless flares the right way. When your marks cluster at flares, recover the test gas, then open a single joint. Inspect the flare face for lines, flat spots, or galling. Replace the gasket. Remake the joint with a torque wrench set to the maker spec for that size. Pressurize that branch and retest with soap and the detector. Log the torque you used. Circle back to each mark and confirm twice. Every marked hit gets a second confirmation with a different method. Soap a detector hit. Sweep a soapy bubble hit with the detector or the ultrasonic tool. You need two different methods to agree before you declare the spot. Verify. You have at least two independent confirmations on the exact point. Your photos show a numbered tape flag at the location. Your notes list the method and the response, for example, slow bubble growth and repeatable detector tone. If you use dye with maker approval, your photos show the glow at the joint and your note lists the dye volume. If you used ultrasonic, your note lists the time and place and that the tone peaked at that point. The test section pressure and temperature are written for each run. Common fails and fixes. Moving the detector too fast. You miss small plumes. Fix by slowing to 1 inch per second and pausing at seams and bends. Chasing drafts. Air currents pull the plume away. Fix by shielding the probe and sweeping across the joint from multiple directions. Assuming every oil stain is a leak. Old spills fool the eye. Fix by cleaning the area, pressurizing, and confirming with soap and the detector after it dries. Using dye without approval. Warranty trouble and coil fouling can result. Fix by checking the documentation first and writing the approval line in your notes. Skipping the second confirmation. False positives waste time. Fix by pairing methods and marking only when both agree. Document. Photograph each numbered mark with a close shot and a wide shot. Photograph soap bubbles mid-growth. Photograph the detector screen if it shows a bar graph next to the joint label. Record the detector brand and model, the sensor age if known, and the sensitivity setting you used. Log ambient temperature and whether the space was calm or breezy. If dye was used, record the product name and the exact volume added and the maker line that allows it. Recap. Look first, then soap, then sweep with electronics at a slow and steady pace. Shield the probe from wind and confirm each hit with a second method. Use dye only when the maker allows it and only as a last resort. Chapter 7. Permanent fix and proof. Hook, one line, repair once, prove it tight, charge by weight, and hand the customer clean numbers. Scope, use this after you have the exact leak proven by two methods. You will repair tubing or joints, or replace the failed part if repair is not sound. Then you will pressure test, evacuate, charge, and verify. No new diagnostics start here. Safety, wear eye and hand protection. Lockout and tagout. Ventilate. No open flames near stored refrigerant. Treat A2L refrigerants as flammable. Recover fully before hot work. Keep a fire extinguisher close. Assign a fire watch. Shield nearby wiring and surfaces with a heat guard. Never use oxygen. Tools and materials. Oxygen-free nitrogen with regulator and flow control. Torch and tips sized for the tube. Silver phosphorus rod for copper to copper. Silver brazing rod with flux for copper to brass. Heat blocking paste. Wet rags, tubing cutter and deburring tool, emery cloth or brush, torque wrench for flares, vacuum pump with fresh oil, large bore vacuum hoses and core tools, digital micron gauge scale, manifold or charging rig rated for the refrigerant, thermometer or probes approved. Soap solution, electronic detector, camera, painter's tape and marker. Setup, confirm recovery is complete. The system is at zero pressure. Remove nearby insulation. Clean the joint and 2 inches of tube on both sides until bright. Dry fit parts. Set nitrogen to a light purge. Aim for a gentle whisper at the open tube, about 2 to 5 cubic feet per hour. Place heat shields. Brief your fire watch. Steps. Purge with nitrogen before and during heat. Start the light flow. Cap open ends to keep a small sweep through the joint. Purge stays on from now until the joint cools. Braise copper to copper. Heat the tube, not the rod. Keep the flame moving. When the metal reaches temperature, touch the silver phosphorus rod to the far side of the joint and let capillary draw it in. Pull heat as soon as the gap fills. Wipe with a wet rag. Braise copper to brass. Brush on flux made for the rod you chose. Warm the brass first. Add silver alloy as the joint pulls. Do not flood. Stop when a small, even fillet shows all around. Cool with air. Wipe off flux. Protect valves and parts. Front seat service valves to protect stems. Use heat paste and shields at valves and painted parts. Keep the torch tip sized to the job to avoid overheating. Decide replace versus repair when needed. Replace a coil if leaks show on many U-bends or at headers you cannot reach. Replace a line set if an underground run fails or if pinch and restore is not reliable. Pull new lines above grade when possible and secure every support. Write the reason for replacement in one clear line. Pinch restore if used earlier. File the pinch flat. Cut out the pinched section square. Deburr. Clean to bright. Sleeve with a coupling. Braze with purge running. Post repair pressure test. Let the joint cool. Increase nitrogen in stages to your safe target below the lowest rating. Record pressure and temperature. Soap every new joint and nearby seams. Hold for the window you chose. No bubbles and no unexplained drop means pass. Deep vacuum and prove dryness. Remove cores with core tools. Connect large hoses direct. Fresh pump oil in place. Pull to 500 microns or lower. Isolate and time a rate of rise. Record start and end values. If the rise is small and flattens, you can charge. Charge by weight. Close valves. Disconnect vacuum rig. Install new cores. Connect charging rig. Place the cylinder on the scale. Zero the scale. Weigh in the factory charge from the nameplate plus line set adjustment if required. Speak the number and write it twice. For example, 6.8 pounds. Repeat. 6.8 pounds. Start and verify superheat or subcool. Let the system run and stabilize. For a TXV system, set charge to the maker subcooling target on the nameplate or chart. For a fixed orifice, set charge to the maker superheat chart using return air and outdoor temperature. Record the target and the achieved number. Write both. Final leak checks under operation. With the system running, sweep all repaired areas with the electronic detector at 1 inch per second. Soap again where you brazed. Watch for any bubble growth. Mark and photograph each check that passes. Clean up and insulate. Let joints cool fully. Replace insulation with dry material. Seal seams. Remove all temporary taps. Open service valves to normal. Cap ports with fresh gaskets. Torque ductless flares to the maker spec. Read the torque value twice. Verify you have a pressure hold with times and temperatures. You have a vacuum story with start and end microns. You have a scale record that matches the nameplate charge plan. You have final superheat or subcool numbers against the target. You have a clean electronic sweep and soap pass. Photos show the purge setup, the finished joint, the gauges, the micron reading, and the scale. Common fails and fixes. No nitrogen purge while brazing. Black scale forms inside. Fix by stopping, cleaning, and redoing the joint with a light purge. Overheating a valve body. Stem packing is damaged. Fix by shielding, front seating, and using smaller tips. Replace the valve if damage is done. Guessing charge by pressure only. The system runs, but is not correct. Fix by charging by weight and verifying with superheat or subcool against the maker number. Skipping the rate of rise. Moisture hides. Fix by isolating and timing the rise before charging. Leaving a piercing valve in service. It seeps. Fix by removing all temporary taps and brazing in permanent tees only when required. Document. Photograph the joint before and after. Photograph the nitrogen purge at the tube. Photograph the regulator with target pressure. Photograph the micron gauge at target and at the end of the rise test. Photograph the scale during charging with the reading visible. Log superheat or subcool numbers and the ambient temperatures. Keep old parts in a bag if helpful for warranty. Customer script. Today we found and fixed a confirmed leak at the marked joint. These photos show the repair and the nitrogen purge while we brazed. Here is the pressure hold with start and end numbers and temperatures. Here is the vacuum record and the micron rise that stayed small. We charged by weight to the maker spec and verified with subcool or superheat. The final sweep and soap test are clean. If you see ice, noise, or a performance drop, call us at once. Your records are in this folder. Recap. Purge with nitrogen, braze clean, and protect parts. Prove the repair with a pressure hold and a vacuum that passes. Charge by weight, hit the maker target, and document every number.